Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful, beautiful congregation this morning on a beautiful day, beautiful Sunday. Turn to the one beside of you and tell him you sure look good today. Some of y'all were still a little slow. We've been doing that a long time now. Amen. God is so good to us. And I thank him. I praise him every day for the opportunity to be here at Northview and to be able to be a voice in this last day. These are turbulent times, and I thank God that he has allowed me to stand and share his word in this last day. God has given us a beautiful place to come and worship, and just turn to somebody and say, I love Northview.
I do. I love Northview.
Amen.
I love it.
Thank God for what he's doing here. I want to share something with you today. I want to share, I won't be able to finish it all today, so we'll just continue it to next week. But the Lord is really speaking to me concerning direction and concerning where we are and what we're supposed to be doing and all these different things. And God is an awesome God. Last week I reminded you, and he's brought me here to remind you. And I want to share some things with you. We're going to look at several different scriptures today. But the Lord began to speak into my heart, because I know a lot of you are going through different things. I know some of it I may not know. But I guarantee you everybody in here is going through something. They're dealing with something in their lives, something in their family, something on jobs or whatever. And I want you to understand there's times we feel overwhelmed with life. We feel overwhelmed with what's going on. But I want you to understand, God is always in control.
Amen.
God is always in control, and he is never, ever late in what he does. I'm going to share some things with you that he's given to me, so I'm going to have to kind of take it slow because I don't want to get ahead of myself, because I want you to understand that God is a God of principle. God operates on principle. When he created this world, he created principle. Let me tell you what one of those principles are. One of those principles is to take care of his people. He's going to take care of you. And he gave me a simple title today, but I want to talk about 3 days. My title today is going to be 3 days. And God began to lead me all through the Word of God and show me how God works in 3 days. And I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what does all that mean in 3 days? And God gave me this. He wants you to get this. It's not profound. It's not anything new, but I want to remind you of it. God changes things. God changes things. And whatever you're going through right now, this is a prophetic word. I feel a prophetic anointing here this morning. Whatever you're going through right now in your life, whatever it is, God can change it all in a moment of time. I want that to sink in. God can change it all in a moment of time. So I want to start in Job, but I'm not going to preach about Job this morning, but I want to highlight a principle. We all know what Job went through in Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Then we're going to look in Genesis, and then we're going to look in Joshua, and then we're going to look in 1 Samuel. So I need you to follow along with me. I don't want to lose you because I want you to get this. Job chapter 42. Beginning in verse 10. Everybody there? Say, I'm there. The book of Job. The book of Job. And the Lord turned. We rebuked the devil this morning, and we call him a liar because he tell you things are never going to change. But I want to tell you, God changes things. What is impossible with us, it's possible with God. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Isn't that tremendous? And the Lord turned. Now, follow with me. Now, what we're doing this morning, I want you to understand, I'm giving you the Word of God. I'm not giving you what I think. I'm not giving you how I feel, because how many of you know that don't mean anything? You don't need that. It doesn't matter how I feel. You don't need that. You need the Word of God to deal with what you're dealing with. So what I'm going to give you this morning is foundational material so that you will have it in your heart and you'll be able to stand on it when you're dealing with what you deal with in life. So I want us to go all the way to the first book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 40, verse 13. I want to show you a pattern. Yet within 3 days, still Pharaoh lifted up thine head, restored thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and the former manner from whom which was his butler. In 3 days, God carried a butler from the prison to the palace. All right, let's go to the book of Joshua. 3 days, 3 days. Keep that in your mind. Joshua chapter 1, verse 11. In 3 days, God carried the children of Israel from the wilderness to the promised land. Look at this. Verse 11 said, he passed through the hosts and commanded the people, saying, and the host just means a heavenly gathering, commanded the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you will pass over this Jordan. 3 days. Now go to Joshua chapter 9. Just turn right on over there, Joshua chapter 9, verse 16. Joshua makes a peace treaty with the Hittites in 3 days. So look at Joshua chapter 9, verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of the 3 days, after they had made a league, or when you break that out, a treaty with them, they heard that they were their neighbors and that dwelt among them. God brought peace in 3 days. Now go to 1 Samuel. You say, what's all this mean? It means God is a God of His Word and God changes things. 1 Samuel chapter 9. I want you to see this. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 20. And I'm going to be, and you can just stay right there in chapter 9, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. But in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 20, as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not my mind on them, for they are found. And then as you read on in that, what happened? God took Saul in 3 days from looking for donkeys to be a king. Is God an awesome God or what? Whatever you're going through this morning, I'm giving you the Word of God. All through the Word, I'm not through. There's a lot of 3 days that I'm going to bring about this morning. But what I want you to understand, there's a principle here that God wants you to see, that in His timing and in His time, He's going to turn things around. I know you don't feel like that, maybe some of you, but I want you to understand He turns things around. Now, what we've got to begin to do is we've got to begin to walk in the area of belief. There's two things I want to share with you real quick. There are two types of trouble. There's uninvited trouble and there's self-invited trouble. The uninvited trouble is something we don't have anything to do with. But the self-invited trouble is, if you're not careful, doubt and despair will begin to come in, because I believe everybody in here is needing something in their life. Matter of fact, let me just do it, like, make sure I'm in the right place. Is anybody in here need anything this morning? Amen? Well, I'm in the right place then, because every one of us have something that we need. And listen, there's always going to come that warfare that tell you it's out of reach, you can't handle it, you can't get it, it's not going to happen. I want you to understand by principle that God will do what He said He will do. Amen? He's a foundational God. He's not moved by circumstance. He's not moved by people. He's not moved by any attack. He loves you and north you. I'm going to tell you something. Our best days are not behind us. Our best days are coming before us, because we're in the middle of what God is going to do. And I'm telling you, there's a stirring in my spirit today. And God hadn't give up on us. Don't you give up on us, because the best is yet to come, because God will finish what He started. Amen. Now, I want to talk about David. We're in 1 Samuel there, so just stay in 1 Samuel around chapter 30. But I'm not going to give you a whole lot of scriptures right here. I just want you to listen to what God has to say. Now, when you begin to study about the life of David, now I'm going to be talking about David. I'm going to be talking about Jonah. I'm going to talk about a lot of people. I won't get all that in today, but I want you to see some principles here. Listen, you remember Lot in the Bible? What did Lot do? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. We're talking about trouble that you invite on yourself. Be very careful. And I really feel led to tell you this. When you are believing God for things, be very careful that you don't fall in the trap of negativity, because that will hinder your blessing from God. Has everybody got that? How many of you know that when you're believing God for something, all adverse attacks come against you? You're believing God for healing, you get worse. You believe in God for prosperity, everything tears up. How many of you know that's life? How many of you know that happens? Amen. Well, I want you to know it doesn't move God. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we think. We're moved by what we know. All right? You remember Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He got himself in a mess. He got his family in a mess. And at the end, he was looking back to where he came from. I want to talk about David today. Because David is a man, every time you hear about him, everybody's talking about Bathsheba and all these things, and yeah, that was bad, and he shouldn't have done it and all that. But I want to tell you something. God does not throw us away when our lives are not perfect. I want to talk about this. David, I love the study about David. He was a man after God's own heart. Now, David, before he became a king, was an armor bearer. He was an armor bearer for Saul. I want to talk about something here. I really want you to get this. Come in a little bit closer. Get another cup of coffee. Let's talk about it. Because I want you to get this. God had his hand on him for greatness. I want to tell you something. God's got his hand on every one of you. And I feel such a strong anointing here today for greatness. There is more in you than what you have. And it's going to come out. And it's going to bless somebody when it comes out, because God has got more. God's got more for Northview. He's got more for me. He's got more for you. And the thing we've got to do is keep our eyes on Him. And that this message today is not a sermon. This is a prophetic word that God wants us to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what God has to say today. Amen. So, David was an armor bearer. He talked on one occasion, he said, I killed a bear with my hand. I killed a lion with my hand. And you remember the 40-day battle when Goliath came in and began to taunt and tantalize the city. And he was condemning God, cursing God. We all know that story. He was a tremendous giant. And every one of us have giants in our lives that try to come and take away everything we've got from us. But listen. Saul was the king. And listen, you remember when they were in battle. David went to carry some food. And he saw what was going on. You got to get this. This is good right here. You remember when Saul told David to take his armor. All right, listen to what I found out about that. David walks up. And there's a 40-day battle going on. There's a giant condemning God. And I ask the question, Saul is going to give his armor. Get this. Saul's going to give his armor to David. Now, Saul's the king. His armor is different than anybody else's armor. It looks different than anybody else's armor. But as you study this, Saul, who is the king, doesn't even have the armor on. His armor is in the tent. They're in a major battle. I'll tell you what. I'm standing here. You're seeing me standing here, but I'm jumping up and down inside. You can't depend on people to bring you out of your battle. God is the source of your battle. Amen?
Amen.
He's the only, well, if I can just talk to so-and-so, it's going to be all right. No. God is your source. David walks up. He's 17 years old. He sees what's going on. Saul, who is the leader, is scared to death because he don't even have no armor on. Because you want to know why? He didn't want that big giant to know he was the king. So his armor's in the tent. And he says, hey, David, I know what you can do. You can wear my armor. I want you to get this morning. Nobody can be you but you. And God loves you like you are, and you don't have to be anybody else for God to love you. Boy, that's good right there. Amen.
Amen.
Now, look, here's a 17-year-old boy. Here's a king who is scared to be king. He's scared to be a leader. So his armor, Lord have mercy. They've been fighting for 40 days. His armor's in the tent. He says, I know what I'll do. So he's a politician. And he says, what I'll do, I'll let David wear my armor, because here's what the armor did. It covered the whole body. It covered the head. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll let him kill the giant. I'll let him fight the giant. And when the victory comes, they will think I did it. Tell me there ain't some good stuff in that word. Amen. Tell me there ain't some good stuff in that word. We think we know it all. You keep digging. There's some good stuff in there. You know what David says? I have not proven this. In other words, he says, he's saying, your armor doesn't fit me. I'm still in 1 Samuel, somewhere in 1 Samuel. But I want you to understand, you don't have to be anybody else but you to be mighty for God. We all got faults and failures. Look to the woman's side and say, you got faults and failures. Some of y'all scared. I see you. I see you. We ain't going to have no fight in church. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. What's an armor bearer? An armor bearer is somebody that carries the armor for the king. I'm going to tell you, I'm about to have a fit up here. They carry the armor for the king when they are in battle. But they don't put the armor on till they get ready to go into battle. Now let me explain what I'm talking about. Now I've never been to Israel, but I've read about it, taught people been there, and they say it's really, really hot. And there's certain times you have to be careful to put the armor on. You that knows Bible history, you remember the Turkish War when the Turks were fighting against the Crusaders, and the Crusaders came up one day and they all had their armor on, and it's hot. And you know what the Turks did? They set the field on fire. They got it hotter. And they defeated the army because it got too hot for their armor. Here's the point. You can wear the armor at the wrong time. Second point, you can't wear nobody else's armor but yours. Are you getting that this morning? David says, I don't need your armor. I can fight this giant by myself, and we know the story. Now, we're believing God for some things. God is not calling nor for you to be like anybody else in this city. I don't want to be like anybody else in this city. I love singing hymns. I love that. You know what I was thinking about the other day? Hymns are foundation, and the Lord knows this city needs some foundation, doesn't it?
Amen.
Everybody's moving by every little wind, the doctrine that comes by. Somebody's got to stand flat-footed and face the giant with our own armor on. Amen. We don't need nobody else's armor. And I'm going to tell you, whatever you're going through right now, God's going to provide and make a way of escape. And He don't need anybody else to do it. He can do it right by Himself. Amen. I'm going to take my shoes off and run around this church. Amen. All right? Here's a principle. I'm still on the introduction, y'all. I'm going to tell y'all that. I'm laying a foundation here. It's going to make sense in a little while. There's a time when you run, and then there's a time when you stand. And when you stand, you put your armor on. Amen? Because you're getting ready to go in a fight. Some of you are fighting right now. Some of you all are fighting right now. You're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed by things. You need to just calm down. Stop where you are. Be still in God and let Him begin to clothe you with the armor of God. And I'm going to tell you what, you are going to win the battle you're facing. Did I not tell you that God's a God that in 3 days He changed? I've just read you several times. In 3 days, God changed things. He changed things. And God's going to change things for you. That's a prophetic word for some of you. Well, it seems impossible. It doesn't seem like with God, things are possible. Now, Saul becomes jealous of David. Saul tried to kill David 21 times. 21 times. Ever done some dumb stuff before? When you're believing God for things, how many times do we do some dumb stuff? I'm going to tell you what, David did some dumb stuff. Before he become king, everybody wants to hang Bathsheba on him. That was kind of dumb, real dumb. But that wasn't all. He won't just dumb then. How many of you know God can use you even if you're dumb? Amen? You got a pastor up here God's using, even though you don't know it all. But 21 times he tried to kill David. And Saul says, this is what's so good. Saul says, I'm not going to bother David no more. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this battle. And the Bible says he got on and he went back to Jerusalem. And in the next part of that, David says, let me tell you something. Point number two. Try not to get discouraged in the battle. You are protected by the armor. Stand, and God will stand with you. Alright? How many receive that? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Alright, here. Get this now. David has already been anointed to be king. He's already been told you're going to be king. But he's still concentrating on Saul. Point. Be careful of the distractions that come your way to try to pull you from what you know God says. Amen. No few is blessed, and we have been blessed for 50 years, and we're going to be blessed if we tarry 50 more years. How many of you know that? We're an awesome church. This church stands as a monument of what God can do. Now, it doesn't matter who's here. It doesn't matter who leaves. It doesn't matter who comes. I'm telling you, God is going to bless this place because His hand is on it. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Now, David is so wrapped up in Saul. Saul's already, I'm through. I'm not going to fight you no more. I'm just going to go back to Jerusalem. And he did. Here comes some dumb stuff. Saul says, I'm going to go to the land of the Philistines because Saul's going to kill me. I'm giving you history now. Saul just said, I'm through with it. I'm going back. I'm not messing with you no more. Discouragement comes on. Despair comes on. David, he says, I'm going back. And I'm going to go to the land of the Philistines. Let's break that down just a minute. Can you give me about 30 more minutes? Two of you can give me 30 more minutes. Amen. Two of you. Y'all working me hard now. I'm telling y'all that. Y'all hard busted. Amen. Now, thank you, Lord, for your anointing this morning. David's discouraged. He said, I'm going to go back to the Philistines. Now, the Philistines are the enemy. Be careful when you believe in God for something that you don't listen to the enemy. The enemy says you're never going to win. David goes to the land of Philistines, says, Saul's going to kill me anyhow. So God had already told him, you're going to be the next king. So here's his first mistake. He goes to Nob. Now, I'm telling you what, the Bible's got some awesome names in there. Where you live? I live in the city of Nob. Nob, North Carolina. Amen. Nob. So David goes to Nob. Now listen. This is good. David, his problem has already been took care of. God's already took care of it. In his mind, he's still in bondage. He says, Saul's going to kill me. Saul's going to kill me. And look, the man had already killed the giant. The man had already killed. Point. You can't go by your emotions all the time.
How many live by your emotions? You're going to live messed up, right? You have to live by what you know. So he goes to Nob. I like Nob. He goes to Nob. Why'd you go to Nob? Now, I don't understand why I went to Nob, because that is the hometown of Goliath. The man has already killed Goliath. Now he's going to make it worse and go to the people's house and relatives and friends and brothers and sisters, and he's going to prop through the city. What is the man thinking? He's so discouraged that he's just kind of giving up, and he goes, look, that ain't all he does. Give me about 5 more minutes. Can I have 5 more minutes? I hope you're getting something out of this, because this is good stuff. I'm going somewhere. Goliath goes to the hometown, and guess what he does? He gets the sword of Goliath. It's about a 5-foot sword. It's got a gold hound. It's got gemstones on the end of it. The man goes in and takes the sword. He's already defeated the giant. He's already won the battle. You ever have those days where you feel good and then you wonder when you're going to feel bad, because you don't usually feel good, and now you feel good and you're worried about that you feel good, and I feel too good, something's going to happen. I know anybody out there here, but something's going to happen. So he takes the sword and he starts going through the city. I'm in 1 Samuel, somewhere in there, around chapter 21. And it hits him. He's made a mistake. Now, the king and all those people that are against him, his enemies, get him together and they say, we're going to kill him. So you remember the part in the Bible where David starts foaming at the mouth? You remember that? Mm-hmm. He starts foaming at the mouth. In other words, he acts like he's crazy. He is crazy. I know the king says, he's got to be crazy to come in here. It's like me attacking the mafia, and then I'll go back to where they are. That's how it was. But let me tell you something. When you get down in yourself, when you start thinking you can handle it in your own, we do some dumb stuff. But how many of you know God takes care of us, even when we make wrong turns?
Amen.
So David goes in there, and he starts foaming at the mouth. He starts thinking, I got to do something quick because I have really messed up. And so he starts foaming at the mouth. Now, you know what? You know what's going on? The Islamic nation and those type of people have this theory that if there is a demonic person among them, they will get rid of them, because the theory is that if you kill a demonic person, that demon comes on you. So the king says, I don't want that demon on me. Do you see what God's doing? Do you see what God's doing? Even though it's crazy, God is protecting David even when he don't have enough sense to protect himself. You see what I'm saying? And God gives him the wisdom. So you know what they do? A miracle happens and they let him go. Last thing about David, second mistake he makes. He goes to Ziklag. There's a tribe of Judah and there's a land of the Philistines. The land of the Philistines is the enemy. What does David do? David goes and hangs out with the Philistines again. We make mistakes and then we make them again. I'm going to tell you this point. God doesn't ever give up on us. He crosses the place of praise, Judah, and he goes to the land of the Philistines. Now here's what I want you to get. As he gets with the land of the Philistines, he tries to become their friend. You don't need to be friend with the enemy. You need to know you've got a standard and a lifestyle that God wants you to live, and you don't waver from that. Amen? How many of you know that there's always going to be somebody trying to pull you away from what you believe? I want you to get that. I'm talking about standing. So David says, here's what we'll do. We'll fight your enemies for you. And so the king says, good. Yeah, go ahead. So he starts fighting. And you know the story.
of Ziklag. So David fights the enemies, and they gave him the city of Ziklag. 600 men went with him to battle, and as you remember when they were in battle, the enemy came in behind them, stole their wives, stole their children, stole their daughters. You remember that? And 600 men and David come back. Now, all this time, David is wandering around in places that he has no being because he's worried about Saul. Let me tell you something. When you're battling for something, when you believe in God for something, all kinds of discouragement is going to come your way to get you to go somewhere else. Amen? And so, 600 men come back. They come back and they find out that all their families are gone. Their cities are burning. Their cities are burning. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and let's look at verse 11. This is something good right here. They come back with 600 men. They see everything. They wanted to stone David. Do you remember that? And the Bible talks about that David encouraged himself and 200 of the men left. 400 of the men stayed with him. Here's the situation. David's going through some impossibilities. But God will make a way in the midst of your impossibilities. I want you to look at what happened here. So David comes back. And he's got 400 men. And verse 11 said, and they found an Egyptian in the field. Now, David says, here's what God told him. He says, I want you to pursue, overtake, and recover all. You remember that? His family's gone. His children's gone. His daughters are gone. How many times is there an enemy out there who wants to steal something from you? Now, I'm getting you to think this morning. I told you I wasn't going to preach. I'm just giving you the word. There's something, there's an enemy out there who wants to steal everything you've got. You got to get this. He wants to steal your finances. He wants to steal your health. He wants to steal your relationships. He wants to steal everything you got. He don't want you to be happy. He never wants you to be happy. And he certainly don't want you to be satisfied. He wants to destroy. So in all this mess, David's got 600 men. Now he's got 400 men. And God says, go get your family back. What do we do when we don't know what to do? This is the point I want you to get. How are we going to do? What are we going to do? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Who is the Word? How many of you, when you start going through things, listen, all of you, when you start going through things, you're going to start hearing all these voices on what you need to do. But the only voice you need to listen to is God. So, when I read this, I just had me a time. Where are they going to go? Where do they start? How do they go find their family? All right, look at verse 11. And they found an Egyptian. I mean, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. Now the Amalekites have already come in and stolen everything away from him. But there's one person they left. Now how is that one person there? He got sick. Is God awesome or what? Look, the little things. God does little things. They come back and this guy is sick. And look here. And brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. In other words, he started getting well, started getting better. Look what it says. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for how many days?
3 days
and three nights. Now, I want to make sure you get this. 3 days and three nights. I got a lot of notes here. I got a lot of notes.
Everything's been stolen from David. And he don't know what to do. He's already messed up. He's let Saul discourage him. He's let Saul distort his thinking. The man just brought down a giant with a rock. He knows what God can do. But he's so discouraged and so despondent, he don't know what to do. So he's out there with the enemy. But God will make a way of escape. Boy, I feel it's an honor here today. I don't care what you're going through this morning. I don't care how hard and tough it is. God can and will make a way of escape. Let me tell you about this story. This Egyptian got sick. Now, I don't believe he just got sick. I believe God, in his providential care, made a way. The reason he's there, now this is the kind of people you're dealing with, they threw him away. He was sick, and the general said that he was a laborer to the general, and the general said, I don't want him around me, he'll make all my people sick. So you know what he did? He threw him away. And the man stand there, and everybody's gone, and he's, I know, puking. Now you don't want no lunch, do you? For 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. Here comes David. They feed him. They get it. The Bible says the Spirit came back in. And guess what? He knew where all the girls were and all the wives were. He knew all the secrets. God knows the secrets. Right now, you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to say. You just say, God knows the secrets. And God will make a way where there is no way. And he will bring people into your life that you won't even dream of. And guess what? This man told David everything. He told him where. I tell you where they're at. They left me here to die. I didn't tell you where they're at. He told him everything. David went in with those men, and he conquered, and he took his family back. He took his children back. He took everything back in 3 days. The Bible talks about in 3 days, David reversed the captivity. He got his wives back. He got his spoils back from the Amalekites. Everything they had stole, he got it back. Let me stop right here. Next week we'll talk about Jonah. I'm going to tell you stuff about Jonah that you probably never heard. God knows where you're at. We're all going through things in life that we don't know how to handle. I've been through some physical things lately. I've never had no physical problems, but it's been hard because I didn't know how to handle it. But let me tell you something. God is making a way. When you stand for God, he will stand for you. And God used this one man to bring victory to David's whole family. He recovered it all. I'm going to tell you this right here. God changes things. And when you begin to allow God to do his work and to speak to you like he needs to, God changes things. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as we close in prayer right now. Let me tell you why I'm preaching this way. Let me tell you why I feel such a strong anointing. I'm preaching this way because you need to hear the Word of God. You don't need to hear what I think or ask. You need to hear what God says. Everything I've told you today is history in the Word of God. God's going to bring you through whatever you're facing. God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. God's going to do that. Won't you take the hand of the woman side of you right now as we close in prayer today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this study. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that answers prayer. We thank you, God, that you look beyond our faults when we don't know what to do and we make wrong turns and we make wrong decisions. You don't throw us away, but you make a way. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you encourage Northview people this morning to let them believe again, dream again, trust you again for whatever they need in their life this morning. Or some of them are facing physical problems. Some of them are facing a lot of problems. I don't know all of them, but God, you do. And God, I thank you this morning that you never fail us nor forsake us. And God, I pray this morning that you'll encourage their hearts, that they can pray, and when they pray, they can believe. And when they're attacked with discouragement or tried to be detoured from what you have for them, I pray, God, that you'll encourage their hearts. We will recover all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone of you.